Hey everyone, it's Dr. Chazelle Bonner. Welcome to the Random Thoughts Podcast. As a practicing emergency medicine physician, for my last episode of the season, I would like to touch on how private equity is detrimentally impacting emergency medicine, as well as how the lack of standardization and training for advanced practitioners also negatively impacts patients and their families. Now, as someone trained in emergency medicine, I thought this important to discuss because it affects our daily practice and our ability to care for patients. Now, for some background, private equity groups have for several years now been purchasing freestanding emergency rooms as well as contract management groups that manage physician contracts. Now, with those purchases, they're able to govern over how a physician is paid and how that person gets reimbursed for the care they provide. By purchasing multiple of these contract management groups, as well as freestanding emergency rooms, they are limiting their competition and giving physicians less options for them to choose from. Now, because the physician has to negotiate between large groups that manage multiple areas, they end up getting paid less or work more hours or less money or have to produce more procedures in order for them to get paid. This causes the physician to limit how much time they spend with each patient so that they can put more patients in their time block and so that they can get paid an adequate salary to care for themselves or their family, especially if they live in a high cost area. They in turn also hire more mid-level practitioners. A mid-level practitioner or an advanced practice practitioner is a nurse practitioner or a physician assistant. For just to provide some background, a physician, a medical doctor, complete 4 years for their bachelor's, 4 years or 3 or 4 years in medical school, depending, and specifically for in varying years in residency. Specifically for emergency medicine, they do 3 to 4 years. To become a nurse practitioner, you first need to get a bachelor's. And then there are varying programs. There's some where you can do 18 months advanced degree to some on average 2.5. Similar to the more stringent NP programs, a physician assistant program after attaining your bachelor's can take 2 to 3 years to complete, which at that time for equivalency is about equivalent to a third or fourth year medical student. Now, nurse practitioners are trained under what they call the nursing model, which is more of a managerial degree. While physician assistants are trained similar to physicians under the medical model. Now, with hiring less physicians and hiring more nurse practitioners and physician assistant, sometimes this causes physicians to have to provide more oversight because there are most states that do not allow nurse practitioners or physician assistants to practice on their own license, and instead they practice under the doctor's license. So they're hiring less physicians. The physician has to provide oversight for the nurse practitioner and the physician assistant that they're hiring, as well as trying to ensure that they are seeing patients so they themselves can get compensated. Now, this doesn't just affect patients, but it also affects the physician because it increases the risk of burnout. From the 2023 American Medical Association survey found that about 48% of physicians have at least one symptom of burnout. And of course, I don't see why you wouldn't conclude that having to oversee more people, patients, or do more procedures in less amount of time because how fast you are equates to how much you get paid, why that wouldn't contribute to burnout. This doesn't just lead to burnout, but like with everything else, does a full 360 back to socioeconomic status. A research study from University of Michigan in 2018 found that physicians are 30% more likely to work in high-income areas compared to low-income areas, while there are 15% fewer nurse practitioners in high-income areas compared to low-income areas. A paper published in October of 2023 by the National Bureau of Economic Research found that patients who are seen at the Veterans Health Administration and cared for NPs had a 7% increase in the cost of care, 11% increase in the length of stay, and 20% more likely to be readmitted. So combining these two papers, it's easy to conclude that the wealthy are more likely to be seen by physicians, which in turn means they're least likely to spend more money. They end up spending less money, have lower length of stay, and lower readmission rate. So the wealthy are paying less for better care. Now, this is in no way a criticism or a degradation of nurse practitioners or physician assistants. There have been some nurse practitioners and physician assistants who I've practiced next to and with, and who I've learned from and who have helped me grow. And there have been some who leave something to be desired. But that's the same, I would say the same for some physicians I've practiced with. The only difference, and what I find concerning, is the lack of standardization in the training, specifically of nurse practitioners, as well as some PA programs. I'm less concerned about PA programs, as they are required to practice under physicians, except in extremely rural areas. However, there's a lot of states now that have or are pushing for nurse practitioners to practice independently. As of now, nurse practitioners can practice independently in 28 states, including the District of Columbia. Now, although I am a firm believer in practicing in the highest capacity of your license, I also think that physician training is grueling and long. Well, maybe not the grueling part, but is long for a reason. There's a lot to know, and you don't know what you do not know. And especially with some nurse practitioner programs allowing people to just come in and shadow, and I have watched, as you know, in my own medical training as a resident, watching some NP students getting a form signed off or saying they will send in a form, but never really showing up for their clerkships or their rotations, or they have to find their own. And so they might not get the same exposure that a medical student or resident would. That's concerning for me, especially since patients' lives are on the line. And I have personally experienced many patients who were detrimentally impacted or harmed because one of my MP colleagues did not have the appropriate supervision or did not understand the pathophysiology of what was going on in regards to the patient. And again, there are NPs who have been practicing for 20 odd years who are masters at their craft, who I will take my hat off to and who I absolutely trust with whatever comes in. But unfortunately, when there's now like nurse practitioner mills and this push to just churn out the degrees and churn out these degree mills and churn out these students, people no longer requiring to have bedside nursing exposure so they can leave college and go directly into a nursing program and an advanced degree program. It puts patients at risk. It undermines our integrity as a profession, and it directly impacts the poor. I think if we are going to hold advanced practitioners, specifically nurse practitioners, as experts, then we have to standardize their training, make sure that they do, you know, they can't just sign off and say that they shadowed when they didn't. They can't a way to standardize their training to make sure everyone is on the same page and you know that at least you have a minimum threshold, a minimum knowledge base in order to care for patients independently. Because when you're alone and you're back against the wall, and honestly, as a patient, I would want to make sure that the person who's caring for me is as knowledgeable as that. There's a standard of their knowledge base. It shouldn't be Russian roulette. It shouldn't be that if I see one NP, they could have just started practicing last week and I never seen a patient, or don't have something that's standardized in terms of their care, or someone who's been an NP for 20 years and has had bedside nursing experience before they became a nurse practitioner. It should just be something that's more clear cut, more standardized, so that everyone benefits. I was going to share some of my own patient experiences, and unfortunately, I do have many stories. But I think it better to recommend a book that I received during residency. The title of the book is Patients at Risk: The Rise of the Nurse Practitioner. It's a book by Niran Al-Agba and Rebecca Bernard. I recommend reading it and getting some more understanding of the problem at hand. Okay, thank you all for listening. This is my last episode of the season. I'll be coming back in a couple more months to talk about some new random thoughts. And I think this next season, I'm going to try to do something different. As the podcast is evolving, I'm going to have a few guests on, talk about their experiences, their random thoughts, their knowledge base. So if you think you want to hear something cool or you want to contribute something, you can email me at randomthoughtswithdrb@gmail.com. That's randomthoughtswithdrb@gmail.com. Excited to hear from you all. All right. Have a wonderful day, guys.
Artlist.io. Music licensing reimagined.